Mr. Baruch, reel 7. You're just saying about the police in Manchester giving you permission to go to Birkenhead.
Yes, to collect my books. And, I also had a bicycle in Birkenhead.
Now, you're also telling me that you did. The authorities arranged for you to go into POW camps at
That's
the end
right,
of it.
Yes. This was towards the end of the war. They asked me to work amongst prisoners of war and befriend some of them, and this is what I did too. And I invited them to our house. Then we lived in Manchester, in fact 34 Books Road. I didn't live with my parents anymore, and I invited prisoners of war to come and have a meal with us, and I talked to them and generally tried to influence them in the sense of becoming more democratically inclined, and also telling them about what lies ahead in the future. And this was a very useful piece of work.
Who had asked you to do this?
I can't remember who it was, but I think it was the police.
Seems strange after their hostility to you.
Yes. But this was an instruction they probably received from the Home Office. You see, the police never act on their own. They do what they're told to do. And I reckon it was the police who asked me to do that, and they made the arrangements to get in touch with people in the prison of war camps round about Manchester.
So it was with the specific object of influencing them from the political point of view?
Oh, yes, yes, specifically. And I made some friends, but I didn't pursue this later on. When they were then repatriated to Germany, and I didn't keep in touch with them.
How did you find their attitudes?
Well, they wanted to get out of the camps, of course, and were fed up with the war, and they wanted to make a living and getting back to a reasonable carry on, get on with their lives. That's really what they wanted. The ones I met, there was no bitterness. They wanted to get on with their lives. They'd had enough, yes, enough of the army, enough of the prisoner of war camps. They wanted to get on with their lives. That's what it was about.
What was their attitude towards the Third Reich?
Well, they thought that the whole thing had been a catastrophe. I befriended a person who was in the SS, and a young man from Berlin who had been recruited into the SS and who was in one of the really elite units of the SS. He served with Skotzeny. You know the Austrian?
Otto Skotzeny.
Yes. And he was one of the people who'd been involved in the release of Mussolini from the internment. He flew into this mountaintop in a Fiesler Storch, and he was instrumental in releasing Mussolini. And he was in the Manchester camp, and he was one of the people who I befriended and visited, and he visited us. The other one was, our friend was actually, he'd been in the fire service.
Did he tell you anything about his mission to free Mussolini?
Oh, yes. He described what had happened. It was very adventurous. It went off. It was an amazing story, actually, because the Allies didn't consider that it was possible for Fiesler Storch to land in a particular place where Mussolini was kept interned, but they managed to get him.
Do you remember any other details about this mission?
No, I don't remember any more details, but it was certainly a successful mission. It must have been he was rescued by them, as you probably know, but of course it didn't save his life because he was later on he was captured, of course, by the
partisans,
yes. But he was in that unit, this man was in that unit. He wasn't a Nazi at all. And he'd been conscripted. Actually, the interesting thing was that the SS consisted partly of party members, but he'd never been a party member. But he'd been conscripted into the SS because he was a very fit sort of a sports person, and very agile and so on. And, he had, from their point of view, a very good military record. And so he was in this very elite unit of the SS. It was very interesting, and his story was very interesting.
Did you come across any hostility from any of the POWs because of your communist opinions?
No, neither, because I was Jewish. I told him I was Jewish. No, none. I'd never come across any particular hostility. None. In the camps, I was sometimes I was fighting, but I never had any confrontation and never any hostility.
How can you account for it?
I don't really know, but I tell you, it's very curious. My relatives in Germany, when they had to, who were Jewish, and they got out of Germany, especially my aunt and my uncle, who were part of a very successful business in Germany, they had every assistance from the German authorities when Hitler was in power to get out of the country. Every assistance. They were very sympathetic. That was the tax authorities, the inner revenue, and even the police. That every possible assistance, I was amazed at that. The anti-Semitism in Germany, as far as I can remember, and as far as I can sort it out, was an official policy by the Nazi hierarchy. But considerable number of Germans didn't accept this. Anti-Semitism in Germany was never really a mass phenomenon. For instance, in Austria it was different, but in Germany anti-Semitism was not a mass movement. It was an inspired thing by the Nazis. It was part of the political campaign to eliminate the Jews. But I mean, I've been back to Germany since the war repeatedly. I've never met an hostility. None at all. And I've never had a confrontation, either because of being communist or Jew or anything like that. No, nothing.
You were mentioning about your relationships with the trade unions in Manchester in the latter part of the war.
Yes.
Did you ever come across any incipient anti-communism amongst trade union leaders, which might have heralded what happened in the Cold War period after the war with Karen and people like that?
No, I didn't. And didn't in certainly not in Manchester. At the sort of level I operated in the Manchester and Salford Trades Council, and this happened to Bradford in Bradford as well later on, there's never any hostility. I used to be the president of the Bradford Trades Council here for a considerable number of years before Pat Law became the president, but I was the president of the Bradford Trades Council.